Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Passage of scripture found in Isaiah chapter 40. And we want to commence reading, if you will, at verse 25. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 25, recorded are these words. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we look at this word today, brothers and sisters, there are some interesting points that we have that Isaiah brings to the forefront of the consciousness of the hearer's heart. There are things that we grapple with and wrestle with, we deal with, because God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen some time and somehow to wait instead of to move at a certain time when we have thought or believed that God should have stepped in and corrected or changed or conquered a situation. One of the things that I think is so helpful for us to see is our dependence upon God as Isaiah brings the picture into view. There are some things that we need to recognize. First of all, God is a just God. And God is a God of righteousness. And he deals in the first verse with a comforting word from a people who had sinned. And because they were a chosen people of God, because they were a beloved people of God, God dealt with them. And he dealt with them in a way that was consistent with his word, his will, and his way. But he gives them now, after having dealt with them, a ministry of comfort. Look at what verse 1 says. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Verse 2, he says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity, her vainness, foolishness, and nothingness is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, you know, the Lord says those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He corrects. The old folks say he chastises. And so here Israel has received double for all of her sins. But God, in his infinite love, still looks to bring them to a place of comfort after he has dealt with them according to his own word, his own will, and his own way. And as Isaiah paints this picture, and as he presents it before the believers today, it is an understanding of the fact that God is in control no matter how chaotic situations and circumstances may be. One of the things that you're going to recognize is God's word stands forever. And it makes clear, look again in verse 6, it says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, when it all boils down, he's making clear the only thing that's going to last, the only thing that's going to stand, the only thing that's going to be here when everything else fades away is the word of the Lord. And so here is the word that Isaiah has to comfort the people of God who's gone through some stuff. Is there anybody in here who's gone through some stuff? Can I tell you, even the stuff that you've gone through isn't anymore, but his word still is. Some stuff that you're going through right now, it's going to pass, but his word is going to stand. There's some of you getting ready to go through some stuff, but that's going to pass. As a matter of fact, the record is that it came to pass. Everything you're going through, good or bad, it came to pass. It is not designed to last. The only thing that will stand forever is the word of the Lord. That's why the comfort is in God's word. That's why God wants his people to know his word. His word is on this side of glory. His word is on the other side of glory. Matter of fact, the psalmist declared that his word is established in heaven forever. So if you want something that's real rich, reassuring, you need to hold on to his word. Now let's time move faster than I'm able to deal with all of the text. Let's move on up, if you will, to the 25th verse, because I want you to see some things in this text. There are three areas in verse 31 that all of the verses in chapter 40 brings out, but first they're dealing with the season or time. Second thing they're dealing with is the sovereign or God himself. And the third thing they're dealing with in this text is strength that is given to the people of God who wait upon God. Now I want us to go back in the word and see again in verse 25. For the word says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Right. Now he's talking to his people, and he's getting this word to be clear to them in their thinking. Who is it that you can compare me with or to? Who is it? He's making clear something, because he has no equals. There is no one who can be like him or equal to him who opposes him. So he says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Then look what he tells him in verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who had created these things. Now here is the story. Literally, God is saying, listen, your view is too low. All right. First of all, no matter who you can turn and look at, come on, They can't even compare. He said, matter of fact, I just want to give you a little lesson right quick. Look up. And when he says to look up, he's saying, now I want you to know I've created every star that shines. But this is what that just blesses my heart when he tells. He says every star that I create doesn't come out till I call them. And I call each one of them by name. Now you want to talk about some creative power? Now listen, man has not been able to name all the stars in the heavens. And God says they don't even show up till he calls them by name. Listen, because I want you to see this word. He says, again, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He's so strong and so mighty in power that not one star fails when he calls that star's name to show up on any given night. Do you ever wonder why some nights you can look in there's a sky full of stars? It's because he called them out. You can look again and you don't see any in there. I wish I had a witness here. They don't just show up because they are stars. They show up because the God who created the stars say it's time for you to shine. Lord, I wish I had a witness. Now listen, because I want you to see something. He says, for that he is strong in power. He is strong in power. Because he's strong in power, there's not a star that will not shine when he says to shine. And it cannot shine unless he calls it to shine. That's some power. You want to talk about star power? That's star power. The stars shine when the Lord says shine. Look at this now. Why, verse 27, sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? There are two schools of thought here. First of all, as he calls out those who think that they're getting away, slipping away, flying under the radar, that God can't see what you're doing. Because you think that you're doing a covert operation that is so secret that God cannot be aware. It's so classified that God is not aware of it. That judgment will not come connected with the doings. He's saying, you don't really know who I am. I know you might think you're getting away just because I let you get by. But I got news for you. I got a set time. It's called an appointed time. I'm just giving you time to get it right. Now, I want you to see something else here. But the flip side of that is there are some people who have been done wrong, who've been messed over, who's been misused and abused, and they're like, God, don't you see what is happening to me? God, are you aware of what's happening in my life? Do you see what the enemy is trying to do to me? Where is the judgment? God is like, I'm sitting high, I'm looking low, I'm in control. And you see, you've got to understand, brothers and sisters, you got to get connected with God first in order to understand how God operates. You see, it might seem like he allows a whole lot of stuff to happen to us, and it doesn't seem like he's going to step up and straighten matters out. But God is in control, because while he's allowing the enemy to do what the enemy thinks he's doing on his own without the okay or permission of God, God is letting him do what he's doing for evil. But in the end, God is using him to bring good out of that situation. So when God don't stop your enemy from doing what he or she is doing, it's because God in the end is going to make a fool out of them and not of you. I need you to see this word here, because he's dealing with something here that I think is so important for us to understand. Timing. Somebody say timing. Seasons. Seasons are connected with timings. And a whole lot of us don't understand that God does all things in perfect timing. In seasons. Everything happens, flow, and unfolds in its season. God never gets in a hurry about anything because he knows everything and he has set it all according to his timing. Now listen at this because I want you to see something and understand it. The word says again, has thou, verse 28, not known? Now it seemed like the people of God ought to know how God operates. He's the Lord. He changes. Now, has thou not known? Have you not experienced the workings of our Father? Do you not know how he operates? He never deviates from his word. He always reveals his will through his word, and his way is always connected to his will. And so because of that, we can always know where God stands on any situation. Listen at what he says. Has thou not known? Well, maybe you've not known, but he says, has thou not heard? Because even if you haven't experienced, you should have heard somebody talk about it. Somebody's not here. Has thou not heard?
All right.
See, because that's the next thing to believing, hearing first and believing. So God opens up their understanding by saying, if you have not experienced how I operate, maybe you've heard from somebody who has experienced it. And see, that's one of the powers of testimony. That's one of the powers of being a witness. Even if you have not experienced it yourself, you ought to have been at least in the proximity of somebody who has experienced it. See, I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. Anybody who's walked with the Lord got a story to tell. Anybody who knows him can tell you how he knows how to step in right on time when it seems like there is no way. He can make a way out of no way. When you're down to your last, he can take your last and stretch it out so long till you forget all you had was a little. He's so big that he does whatever he desires for those who believe him. Trust him. Love him. Listen at this word. Listen. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, that's who we're talking about, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Look at that. He doesn't faint, he doesn't get weary, and you can't understand him. I said he doesn't faint. That means he don't get tired. And so many of us don't understand. That's one of the reasons we can cast our cares upon him, because he's able to deal with them. He's able to endure them. He's able to do what we cannot do with them. He doesn't get tired. He fainteth not. There is nothing that God will ever deal with that will cause God to faint.
That's right.
To become overwhelmed. To be overtaxed. That's why all of us could call him at the same time and it will not overwhelm his hearing. You ain't got to worry about God's line being busy. He can take all our calls at one time and answer us even before we call. He can't faint. You get some news and it blows you away, and before you know it, you blanked out.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing God can hear that could cause him to faint, because he knows it all. He's heard it all. He's seen it all. And listen at this, he's in control of it all. So he doesn't faint. But not only does he not faint, but what does the next part of that verse say? Listen at this. If he doesn't faint, then there is no need for him to be wearied. See, folk who are wearied are folk who can't handle what's going on. Winners don't get weary. I don't know a winner on this side of glory who say, I'm just so sick and tired of winning. Every time I look around, I'm just winning, winning. God makes me sick to be winning all the time. You know anybody like that? Winners don't get weary. It's losers and folk who are not winning who become weary. I keep on trying, and it seems like the more I try, it seems the worse things get. They become weary because they can't win. But if God is in control, nobody can work his last nerve. Nobody can take him to the limit. Nobody can push him over the ledge. God has things so well under control that he never gets weary. But now the next thing you need to know is, because he doesn't faint, he doesn't get weary, there's another thing you need to realize. You can't figure him out. You know what blows my mind? How God can take the foolish things of this world and confound the wise folk. God can take a nobody who's got nothing, going nowhere, and pick them up and turn them around and give them a new agenda and a new direction and a new destiny. God can do some of the most impossible things, and it doesn't make sense. God can bless the folk you least expect him to bless. God can show up in situations that you never expect him to show up in. God can do some incredible things, and to us it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for us to love our enemies. I wish I had somebody here. You can play holier than thou if you want, but it don't make me, that's searching his understanding. God, why should I love the haters? See, it don't make sense to me. It don't make sense. In the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye. You hate me, I hate you back. Now, that seems more in line with the natural man, the nature of man. But God's understanding is so rich and so full, so favorable, that he moves beyond the understanding of the natural man, and he imparts a new reality. I want you to love those who are hating you. Love, why, Lord? Because what you don't realize is they aren't really hating you. They're just hating what I've done for you. So I want you to love them, because if you love them, what you'll let them realize is I'm no respecter of persons, and what I've done for you, I can do the same thing for them. But if you hate them back, they'll never know me. And so, you know, when you smack one cheek, I'm supposed to turn the other. I'm just trying to tell you, there ain't no searching his understanding. That don't make no sense to me. You see, because that number one, that's flesh. Ouch. Now, I'm going to be silly enough to turn my face and let you slap the other one the first time hurt? That don't make no sense. See, there's no searching of his understanding. Are y'all understanding what I'm trying to say here? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And as much as we search to find the totality of understanding God, we shall never understand him totally on this side. Paul said we see as through a glass darkly. Right now we can't comprehend him because the flesh cannot handle the fullness of the Spirit and the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God in our finite minds. We're going to have to wait till we are changed and made like him totally to understand him totally. So there is no searching of his understanding. How you going to bless folk that shouldn't be blessed? And yet all of us stand in that position. You don't believe me? Let me take a survey right quick. How many of you know you've done some stuff you ought not have been blessed, and in spite of that, God looked beyond your faults and met your needs, is meeting your needs? See, your hands went down quickly. You don't want to admit it, do you? Ain't no searching. How many times, if you were God, you would not have blessed you? Come on, be real. There are just some times you've been like, you know what? I know I didn't do what I was supposed to do, didn't say what I was supposed to, didn't give what I was supposed to give, didn't go where I was supposed to, didn't know any of those things. And yet, in spite of that, no searching. of his understanding. Now listen at this, listen at this. He moves on and he says, he giveth power to the faint. To the person who is devoid of his own strength and ability to get something done. And I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, when you've gotten to that point in your life, when you've been ready to give up on a situation or a circumstance, when you didn't have any more power to go another step further, and yet you completed the task, you got to know that the only way you were able to get to where you were going, do what you were doing, it wasn't because of you, but he gave power to you when you were just about to faint. Just about to throw in the towel, just about to wave the flag of surrender, just about to say, I quit. God gave you strength. Praise his holy name. Listen at this. Listen at this. He giveth power to the faint, to the weak. God gives power to the weak and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Now both of these are situations and cases where the human power, strength, and ability has failed them, but the supernatural power of God has stepped in and given them more than they ever had on their own. The second part of this talks about, again, when he says that to them that have no might, he increases strength. What that literally means is, how many times have you been doing something and you just got winded, you just got tired? You were at that point where you were about, your job was still not complete, but you were almost complete. And then you got what was called a second wind. You were about ready for good for nothing, about ready to drop right there. And out of nowhere, you just seem to have gotten a second wind, a burst of energy. God gives you that kind of strength to complete tasks and to do things. You got to know it's just a simple reminder that you are working on my power, not your own power. On my strength, not your own strength. Listen at this. I want you to see this word. The Bible says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now he talks about youth and young men because he's talking about the natural effervescence of power in the human experience. You ever see children play? And if you ever watch children around older folk always seem to want to make children sit down somewhere. Because children just have strength burned, ain't got nowhere to go. Children just running, just doing it, just fidgeting, just all of this. Children like, won't you just sit down? It makes old folk nervous to see children just waste strength. I wish I had a witness. They're just watching them and, boy, sit down somewhere. All that ripping and running and carrying on. Because they remember when they used to do it, but the power isn't there anymore. And that just makes them nervous to see children just. And then young men who flex their muscles and who take pride in their strength and their ability to do this and do that and all of these things. And so he says, even them at the height of their energy and at the height of their strength, he says, they're going to fail. Look again at what it says. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Their strength shall fail them. But look at what the word says. But they that wait.
Yes, sir.
Tell somebody I'm talking about my season now. But they that wait. Let me bring it into an agricultural metaphor and help you understand some things here. If you take an apple tree, a peach tree, any fruit tree, any tree, it doesn't matter. There is a time that the tree begins to bud. But the fruit isn't ready in the budding. And you can see it there, and it has a small shape of the thing that is to come, but it's not fully developed yet.
and it continues to grow. But the only way that the fruit is going to get its right color and the fruit is going to get its ripeness is if it waits till its season has fully come.